KSL at night.
Welcome to KSL at night. I am your host, Adam Gardner. Normally we'd have Taylor Morgan in the room, but he has left me and I'm all by myself on my my first show, but we're excited about it. I just want to let you know that if you missed out on any of our shows, remember that you can always go back and listen to it on kslpodcast.com after the show's been aired. So just look up KSL at night. We're really fortunate to have such amazing reporters here in the state of Utah, and we're here with KSL News Radio reporter Heather Peterson to talk about one of her stories a few days ago. KSL had the exclusive on this story, and if you want to go back and look at this article, it's titled Implementation of New Utah Bathroom Law Causes Confusion in SLC School District. That is an attention-grabbing headline. So tell us how this story came about.
Well, we first we kind of heard about the school district doing these presentations, and we got a tip from a parent that they were not happy about it. They planned a dance party protest instead of going to these presentations for their students, and that tip kind of like led us down this rabbit hole that brought you this story.
I am very interested in dance party protesting, so we'll talk about that in another segment. But tell us, what's the crux of this issue? What was Salt Lake City School District, what were they planning to do? How were they planning to educate the kids of the district?
So their understanding of this law was that they had to inform all students about the new implementation of the bathroom rule. And so they felt that they had to do these presentations, these assemblies, so that every single student got the information. Other districts did not read the law that way. They perceived it as, we're going to address the students who need to be addressed because they're going to have issues with this implementation. And so I think the crux of the issue is how they read the law. And so my understanding of it is that Salt Lake City School District was really trying their best to implement the law the way it was written. And it wasn't exactly necessary, if that makes sense. All students didn't necessarily have to be informed. We went back to the law itself and a line item, and it didn't say all students. It just said students. So I think it's really like in the minutia there, but I think that their intention was to inform everyone the best they could, but it was just making people uncomfortable.
So it was making people uncomfortable. Did the school district have the training? Are they going to have the training? Did they stop? What was the result of your article?
So after all of this happened, the school district did send out an email to all their administrators that the presentations would be canceled, and instead they were just going to address the students one-on-one, which is what we'd heard other districts were doing. They said that they're going to start working with legislators and with their legal team to truly address how the law should be implemented. And they were no longer going to do these presentations, which obviously made a lot of people happy. So.
And you kind of understand where the confusion comes from, because there's a lot of levels of, I don't want to say bureaucracy, but bureaucracy. So you have like the school district, they're going to interpret it a certain way. You have the Utah State Board of Education, they're going to interpret it a certain way and give guidance to school districts. And then you have what the legislature really meant. And so it kind of gets confusing until stories like this are written or trainings are prepared where everyone can kind of get on the same page. Am I reading that right?
Yeah, no, I think you're spot on there. And we actually on the Friday, Jeff Kaplan's afternoon news, we brought on Kara Berkland, who was the sponsor of the legislation, and she ended up telling us, yeah, I don't know why they would implement it that way. It seems like it causes more problems that way. And so clearly that wasn't her intention behind how she wrote it. But I mean, that's why they have legal teams, right? To like look into the wording of laws and how to figure out like how to best do this to meet the requirements. But yeah, it's super sticky when you try to figure out, you know, how many layers of people like meant certain things. And yeah, it just got sticky.
Yeah. Heather, this is such an interesting story. Definitely some politics perhaps at play. What kind of reaction have you heard so far from the community, from parents, you know, from others whose children saw the presentation and may have questions about it.
Well, the presentations were not delivered. So, I mean, they did have an email out to parents that would preview the presentation.
Okay.
So parents did see that to kind of like decide how they wanted to proceed on whether their students were going to receive it. But those presentations were then canceled. So, yeah, parents were not happy.
So the presentation was provided in advance to parents.
Yes.
And they were able to see it, but then it was subsequently canceled. We know the law doesn't go into effect until May 1st. So now what happens next? What should we expect?
Well now, those students who should be affected or would be affected by this, who may have to go to a different bathroom, than they were previously going to before, they should be talking with their principals, with school administrators, with counselors, to figure out solutions that work for them. But it seems like they're handling it much more on a one-on-one basis, and they're cutting out these assemblies that were making parents really uncomfortable. They felt like to receive this information in a group setting would open up a can of worms for bullying and anti-transgender rhetoric. And so they, you know, shut that down. Hmm.
You know, I want to kind of dig a little bit in the weeds here just for our listeners. I think I've done government relations in multiple states, and I hate using other states' websites. Utah has an amazing website, le.utah.gov.
Amen. It is so wonderful.
It's very easy to use. You can go on that homepage at le.utah.gov, and you can type in HB257. That is the bill number. It was sponsored by Representative Kara Berkland of Morgan County, and the Senate sponsor was Senator Dan McKay of Salt Lake County. So you can go on and you can actually read that bill for yourself, and you can see what it says. And you don't have to take our word for it. You get to read that. And luckily we have such great reporters that can kind of help break down some of the issues. Are you seeing any other blowback? Are you seeing any other movement on this issue, or are most school districts just kind of waiting to see what direction is given?
I think that since this story came out and since they canceled the presentations, I haven't seen as much blowback because, I mean, there's obviously going to be dissatisfaction with the law being implemented in any way. But the method of implementation seems to, the controversy surrounding that seems to have boiled down. I think people just want this dealt with in a more private matter and not feel like that if their student is, you know, involved
is struggling
yeah, with yeah. this issue, that it's not like in the public sphere.
This is so interesting, Adam, because at the Capitol every year, right, we are hearing both sides of this argument about local control and mandates from the Utah legislature. Here we have an instance where, at least my understanding of it, my opinion of it, is that the legislation that you referenced, Adam, the intention was to give some latitude and some local control to school districts on how they wanted to implement this legislation and how they wanted to convey that to students and what was appropriate. Yet on the other side, they've opened the door potentially to some uncertainty, and that can always maybe be a little bit problematic. So so glad, Heather Peterson, you're here to walk our listeners through it. The story is Implementation of New Utah Bathroom Law Causes Confusion in Salt Lake City School District. It is available on kslnewsradio.com.
Heather, thanks so much for joining us. This is KSL News Radio, KSL at Night, with Adam Gardner and Taylor Morgan. Stick around because we're going to be talking to Cassandra Happy from Wallet Hub to talk about the 10 cities nationally from Utah that are listed as the best small cities to start a small business.